Broadcasting live from Wilmington, North Carolina, it's time for Cape Fear Seniors, where those who impact seniors' lives gather to tell their stories.
Welcome, everybody, to Cape Fear Seniors. I'm Tom Petcher, your host, and our guest today is Renee Leister, who is with Living Out Loud magazine. Welcome to the show, Renee.
Hey, Tom.
Good to have you here. Let's just jump right into it. Is all we know right now is Living Out Loud is a magazine. Tell us more about what it's about.
Living Out Loud is a magazine, and it's for boomers and seniors like you and I, active people who enjoy doing things, enjoy eating, enjoy playing. It also offers advice, references. It's a senior go-to guide, mm-hmm. is what we like to call it.
And it's Livin, not Living.
Livin.
L-I-V-I-N apostrophe.
Livin, la vida loca.
And that's purposeful, I assume.
Yes, it is.
A sense of informality, a sense of, you know, maybe a little bit of energy. How long ago was it founded?
It was founded in 2009. He started publishing in 2010. So we've been around for a little while.
Whose brainchild was this?
This is the brainchild of Todd Godby, who is an entrepreneur here in town. He's involved in many, many different projects. Living Out Loud is one of them. Living Out Loud is actually more than just a magazine. It's a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. We have different activities going on. We also have a travel group, which we just recently started. We have partnered with a travel agency out of Raleigh, and we are taking a trip to Sonoma. Mm-hmm. And to the Great Trains and Grand Canyon trip. And it's for 50 and over. We sold out our trip.
Absolutely great.
Absolutely wonderful. We have a lot of people going. So that's going to be actually leaving May the 4th. We also have a trip coming up on October the 27th. We're going to Ireland for 9 days.
How large, I was going to get into that a little bit later, but now that we're into it, how large are the groups that go, and it's called Travel Out Loud?
Traveling, right? With the same.
Traveling Out Loud. How many folks go?
They're going to be on this trip, they're going to be 18 of our people coming from Wilmington, and they'll fly out to Sonoma.
Who's the lucky tour leader?
It's not going to be me, unfortunately. Todd likes to whip me a little bit, so he doesn't want me too far away. The tour leader is Premier Travel Discovery. That's the name of the group. And what they'll do is at the airport in Sonoma, they'll pick up our people and they'll take them from there. It's a guided tour. The whole trip is a guided tour. So it's very, very safe. They've picked a lot of really cool places to look at. And I wish I was going.
I'll bet you do. I'm going to dig into that a little bit more towards the end of the show. Okay. Wilmington is a real magazine city. I mean, I've never lived anywhere that has so many what you would want to call lifestyle magazines. They're just across the board, and it seems like a new one pops up every month or so. How does Living Out Loud differentiate itself from all the others? Obviously, the market, the population, the demographic is, as you said, active seniors. But how do you kind of get through the clutter?
Get through the clutter when you realize that our magazine is a totally local magazine. It's published, it's written, all of our stories are local. We, with the exception of the puzzles, we import nothing. Mm-hmm. We use nothing from the services. Everything here is written by someone that lives here in town and has an experience to share with us, like yourself.
Mm-hmm. Distribution, circulation, how large of a geographic area do you spread out to?
We have over 40,000 in distribution, and we go up to like the Jacksonville, the Jacksonville area.
Mm-hmm. Brunswick County, obviously.
Brunswick County, exactly.
And how about distribution? We've all seen the pickup kiosks where you can go. Mm-hmm. And all over town, but you can also subscribe to the magazine. Is that correct?
You can if you want a paper copy. You can subscribe to the magazine. We are also online, which you can get it right online, right through the PDFs at thelivingoutloudmag.com.
But every month, it's a monthly publication. Every month, you publish 40,000 copies.
Every month.
And as I witness them, as I kind of go by through the community, because I'm out and about a lot, they get picked up pretty quickly. I mean, at the end of the month or even beforehand, those racks are empty.
That is a wonderful thing. That is one of the wonderful things about this magazine. I get calls all month long. Oh, we're out. Can you send some more?
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing more satisfying than having somebody call and ask me to bring some magazines out. It's like, yeah, I'll be right there.
I want to get back to the founding of the magazine and Todd's vision. What was the thinking behind the magazine? Let me go ahead and answer that question, but I want to give you some observations that I have as well, because I've been watching it for a while.
Todd saw with the back in the 2009-10 area, saw that there was something missing, and there was not a Boomer and Senior magazine in Wilmington at that time. So that's why he decided to create Living Out Loud, the magazine, as well as the lifestyle. He really felt that there was something missing and that Living Out Loud was going to serve the customers that the other magazines weren't, giving customers more local local information.
It's not your run-of-the-mill senior publication, or at least not what the senior publication used to be like. It really has kind of broken the mold somewhat. There's a freshness, there's an energy to the publication that's surprising in some ways, because back in the day, and not that much, not that long ago, 5, 6, 7 years ago, remember, senior publications tended to be smaller, dense, not a lot of energy, and frankly, with advertising and content, that was just a little bit depressing. Just because it dealt a lot of with the negative aspects of growing older. Living Out Loud has just done 180 around that and said, you still have advertisements for things that, you know, that people need, medical, clinical, funeral related kinds of things that need to be in there. But there's not that sense of sort of end of life that you'd see in some of the older senior magazines. And you've accomplished that well. You really have. Has that been emulated at all? Do you see that particular approach to a senior-focused publication being done anywhere else, either in the state or even in the country?
I think we have the attitude that this is not an end-of-life magazine. This is a beginning-of-life magazine.
Sure.
It's, you know, you're not going to see gloom and doom. You're not going to see a lot of my shoulder, check this mole kind of articles. You're going to see articles about things that we're interested in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm right in the market. I'm 57 years old. So I can speak to some of the issues and some of the things that people want to see in the magazine, because I feel I represent that market pretty well.
And that leads me to one of the questions I did want to focus on a little bit is, you have regular features in the magazine, but you also have new content each month, typically thematic content. Tell me, let's talk about that a little bit. Your regular features include a book review. I know there was some talk a little while ago about restaurant reviews. Have you started doing that?
We had done restaurant reviews, and now we have a young lady who is a graduate of the Culinary Institute. In fact, she was the first woman to graduate from the New York Culinary Institute.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Barb Baker, and she's doing our food. So we've kind of let Barb just go where she wants, is what we do with most of our writers. And Barb has been coming back with great recipes. She does like little personal interest pieces. Last month she did something on a company called Freaker, who is new to the market and really, really taken off well. It's a Wilmington company that makes koozies.
They're over on Castle Street.
Koozies for your thing. And they've been national. So Barb actually did an interview with the Freaker people, and one of their promotions was they would give people grilled cheese sandwiches to come out and try their product.
Mm-hmm.
So Barb got the recipe for the grilled cheese sandwiches, and she made the Freaker grilled cheese sandwich. That's the kind of stuff that we do in the magazine. She's got the kind of energy that we love. She's just all out.
Energy is really kind of that talks about the magazine. It really does. It really speaks to it. You claim to have several generations of readers. Tell us who they are.
Well, you have your higher end. You're 40 to 50. They're getting ready to turn 50, so they're starting to look around and say, "Hey, wait a minute. I'm 40. What happened? I was just 18." So you have the people who are, I call, kind of pre-boomers. They are looking for their spot. Where am I? Am I middle-aged? Am I senior? What am I? So they're migrating over. We've also got, we've got our 50 plus, which is, you know, the area I'm in, and I'm really kind of getting it now. I'm really kind of understanding what we're supposed to do, what I'm supposed to do at least. And I think that's a real searching time in people's lives. And we're searching for answers, and that's part of our group. The other part of our group would be our 60 plus, and they enjoy the things like Steve Spangler's little article that he does. We call it the front porch. This month, which is just coming out, I'm delivering now, he did an article called Meatloaf in Heaven, and he just gives a perspective of his life. And, you know, he's awesome. He's a preacher here in town, and he is just an awesome writer. And he speaks to our kind of older audience with a lot of references to historical things and older things in life.
How do you choose those monthly themes? Last issue before the one you just brought to the studio, I believe was about women who make a difference in Wilmington. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And this one, which I'm seeing for the first time just now, it's all about spring festivals.
Right.
Do you have kind of an editorial think tank, some brainstorming sessions you go through, what each monthly cover will be about and what the focus of that issue will be about?
It's called Dartboard and Darts.
Is it that kind of chaotic?
It is chaotic. The process that we follow, you know, we get together. It's Todd, myself, and Janice Burton, who is our editor. She's great experience, wonderful editor, and I love working with her. We will sit down and we'll talk about what's going on in Wilmington, what's happening in our town right now. What do we need to pay attention to? We want to be on the top end of that wave. So it's really us three listening to our team of writers also. And we also encourage people to give us comments. Like I do the techno tip. I don't know if you've ever seen that. That's one of my little favorite things to do. And, you know, I encourage people, if you see things, if you want to see something here in the magazine, send us an email. Let me know. You know, we are open to...
Do you encourage contributions?
Absolutely.
I mean, editorial contributions.
Absolutely. We're always looking for writers. That's how I started with the magazine. I was a writer, and I was just doing little articles here and there. So, yeah, we really encourage people to contribute. We'd love the different opinions of people and the different styles of writing. We don't change the styles of writing in the magazine very much. It's not heavily edited. So you're getting the writers, getting the writers' words.
I know there was some talk a little while back about expanding geographically and getting further into other areas of the state. Is that still something that's under consideration?
It is under consideration. Todd's got so many things in the fire. It just kind of bewilders me sometimes. How do I get through a day? But yes, we are growing and we want to grow more. So we're growing through our web presence. We've got some things we're going to be doing with our internet webpage. Very heavy on Facebook. Of course, you know, that's my baby. I love doing that too. And, you know, Todd's got all kinds of ideas about moving into different markets and so forth.
So you get your content from regular contributors, but also you're welcoming content from other people on an ongoing basis.
Absolutely.
It doesn't necessarily have to fit in with the theme of that particular month, because although you do have a theme for each issue, you also, you know, like to explore other things that are not necessarily related to that theme.
Exactly.
Is that fair? Once a week, I get an email from Living Out Loud in my inbox, and it's called Techno Tuesday. You just made reference to it in the magazine. I know what that email is all about. Talk to our listeners about that.
Well, we have the Techno Tip, which is
Techno, T-E-C-H-K-N-O-W, right. Techno Tuesday.
The Tuesday emails and the Tuesday blasts are related to our Techno Tip here in the magazine, and it's just another way for us to help seniors and boomers who may not really be that familiar with computers and all the things that are going on in the world. Things happen here so fast. People haven't really been able to catch up with what's going on. I have no idea what half of the things on my phone do. So
join
we decided
the crowd.
Yeah, we decided, hey, you know, somebody needs to bring us all together and say, here's what this is. Here's what this is. That's kind of what I try to do with the Techno Tip. I do a lot of apps and things like that, letting people know. The one I did in this month is called Driven to Madness. And I always lose my car in the Walmart parking lot. So I found an app that takes you to your car. You just, you know, You get out of your car, you click a little button on your phone, you go in and you do your business, and then you come out and look on your phone. Oh, here's my car. Just walk this way. It's wonderful.
I'm going to find that app.
You've got to have it. But those are the types of things that we're trying to make sure that our market, our folks who may not be as quick to understand the technology, that they get a taste of what that is through TechnoTip and through the email blast.
Mm-hmm. Talk about the growth that the magazine has gone through since it was founded.
Wow. I've seen just in the 2 years that I've been with the magazine, I get a lot of, and I base this on real things. I get phone calls. I get emails. Those are the things that I pay attention to. When I have people call and they let me know that I've made a little mistake in the magazine and put the wrong directions for the recipe, people are reading it.
Mm-hmm.
So, those are my guideposts and Todd's guideposts. When we do a call for writers, or when we do some of the things that we do on the magazine and we get a big response back, like selling out the travel, that shows that we have people who are very, very loyal to the magazine. I have a lady that calls me every month on the second of the month. She lives in Hampstead. And if she doesn't have her magazine by the second of the month, she calls me. Where's my magazine? I want to do the crossword puzzle.
Oh, good for her.
That's the kind of thing, the readership. When I mention Living Out Loud, I'm going somewhere, or I'm interviewing someone, because I also write for the magazine, obviously. You see the recognition. Oh, yeah, I know that magazine. I see that magazine at the grocery store, or I see that magazine at my CVS or Rite Aid, if they're still in business. I don't even know. But that's the kind of recognition that, we recognize, and especially through Facebook, when I start getting Facebook likes and of things that we post, then we know people are listening.
Has there been continued consistent growth since the founding of the magazine? In other words, has your distribution gone up, for example? I'm assuming it has from day one.
I think Todd really does the distribution. I can tell you the figures, but he's really the expert on how he's done that. So I really don't know.
I'll check in with him.
Yeah.
Let's go back to Traveling Out Loud. I'm kind of intrigued by this. You've so far got two trips on the docket, and it sounds as if, the way you describe it, that the reaction from the community has been pretty favorable and pretty strong and pretty positive. The first two trips, one domestic, that's going out to Arizona, and then the second one, I'm sorry, it was
we're going to Ireland.
To Ireland, correct, right. And What's your thinking about future? You want to do 2 a year? You want to do 1 a year, 3 a year? Is it going to be more international, more domestic? How big can that get?
It can get very big. We were just so tickled and amazed that we had gotten the response that we did from our Sonoma trip. I had people, after the trip had closed and it was sold out, begging, please let me get, I want to go.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay. So we realized, hey, we've got something here. This is answering a call for people, because the trips are targeted to the 50 plus.
Right.
You're not going to be doing a lot of stairs and heavy things and things that are going to wear you out, or, people with knee problems or hip problems. They're soft things to do. So I think with our Ireland trip, which, man, it's 9 days in Ireland. I'd love to go.
Yep.
I think we're going to get the same response that we did with Sonoma, maybe even a little bit more. Answering your question, where do we get the ideas of where to go? We listen to our readers. When we started this, and we had our first, we have a little soiree with them. We get together and have a little meeting, and we get to know each other a little bit before the trip. They told us that they would love to go to Ireland. Several readers had said that. And then we just kept hearing it over and over again. Then Janet Oliver, who is the New Hanover County librarian, wrote about the Ireland trip that she and her husband took. So that really got people going. It's like, oh, look, she's just been, and look at these wonderful pictures. She was in our March edition. Her and her husband wrote a beautiful article about their trip. So I think that encouraged people also to look into it.
Adds fuel to the fire of interest.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So
is the Ireland trip now closed out?
No, Ireland, we just opened. We're just opening.
In this month's magazine.
In this month's magazine, we have a beautiful, there it is, a little one-page ad that talks about the treasures of Ireland, which is what it's called. And it gives you all the details, tells you what to do, who to talk to, so forth.
How many people can go? I mean, what's the limit? You must have some sort of upper limit.
You know, it's because it's working with the travel agency. They have their own pot of people. Mm-hmm. They're in Raleigh. So we're just like an arm of the octopus. We can sell as many as we can sell until they tell us to stop. That's just how it's kind of working out.
And how long will it be? Will the Ireland trip be on sale, quote unquote?
Until it leaves.
And it leaves when?
Yes.
In summer?
No, October 27th.
Good time to go, I think.
Nine days.
Nice and green.
Yes.
Nice and green. You have gotten involved, I got from your bio information, with an animal rescue activity that I'd like you to talk a little bit about. Not just about the activity itself, tell us about what it is, but also tell us the kind of people you're looking for to actually volunteer for, because I think it might have some interest to some of our listeners.
And, you know, that's exactly why I felt that we could talk about it today, because I volunteer for a little organization, and it's called All Four Cats, the number four, Cats. We've just started here in Wilmington, and it's a sanctuary and a rescue, and animals are just so treated so with disrespect in our world, and it's just really sad. So I figured, you know, I can do a little bit of something. So I'm helping out the organization, volunteering. What I would love to see happen is, I know there's a lot of lonely people out there. I know there's a lot of people who would love to have an animal, but maybe not on a full-time basis. Fostering. We desperately need foster homes for the cats that we rescue from death row. That's basically what we do. We go in and we get the cats who are rehomable, and we take them in and clean them up and get them all ready to go to a forever home. So I, you know, the idea for us and for me is, you know, I see so many people who want to love an animal and they're just afraid to make a lifetime commitment. So fostering is absolutely the way to go. I please encourage anyone who likes cats, to give us a call. Talk to us about fostering.
What's the name of the organization?
All Four, and that's the number four, Cats.
And how would they get in touch with you?
They can call us. We have a Facebook page.
Okay.
All4cats.org. So, you know, that's one area that I would love to see our seniors get more involved in, giving of their time, and it can be on their schedule.
They can foster on a part-time day-by-day mm-hmm. basis. They can foster for right. like a week or two or a month. Anything is possible.
Yeah. You might take in an animal and only have it for a day because it gets adopted out.
The idea being that they stay well and alive for that matter, so they can be adopted permanently.
It's an easier transition mm-hmm. from the horrible place that they have just come from.
Typically a shelter, a kill shelter.
A shelter or off the street.
Mm-hmm.
We have one cat that we've got word that he was living in a dumpster, and when they got him out of the dumpster, he was very, very badly injured. So we're nursing him back to health, and he's going to go to some forever home someday. But between the time that he's, you know, nursing back to health, we need a place to put him. We don't want to leave him in a cage. You want to put him in a home where he can interact with his foster people and be ready to go to his forever home.
And it does make a lot of sense that this would really appeal to people who are seniors, who are aging, and might have a tad of loneliness in their lives that could be mm-hmm. filled by fostering for an animal. It's a great idea, and we're glad that you were able to talk about it. Living Out Loud magazine is complimentary. Don't have to pay a dime for it. It's got a great web presence. You could literally read the whole magazine as a magazine on the web. It's a cool interface, and I would recommend that anybody go to see that. It's probably fair to say that Living Out Loud magazine has really begun to change the whole idea of being a senior in the greater Wilmington area, and we have you guys to thank for that. Really appreciate it a lot. Tell us how we can stay in touch with Living Out Loud magazine, be in touch with Living Out Loud magazine, Facebook, website, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we have a website, livingoutloudmag.com, and we also have our Facebook page, which is Living Out Loud. Just type it in there and find us, like us, and then we'll like you back. If you have any questions or need to contact us at any time, our phone number is 910-338-1205. More than likely, you'll talk to me. You can reach me by email at Renee, R-E-N-E, at Nancy, N-A-N-C-Y-H-A-L-L.net. Send up a flare. I'll find you.
Okay. Sounds good. If you haven't seen it, I'm sure you probably have, but if you have, but for some strange reason, not seen Living Out Loud magazine, it's all over the city. Pick up a copy, and I think you'll really, really enjoy it. Renee Leister, thanks for joining us today on Cape Fear Senior Radio. Look forward to future issues of the magazine, and now I have my, I guess it's the April issue in front of me right now, hand-delivered. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Tom.